So when I went to the game with my buddy and I was wearing my jorts and naturally, you know, drinking some beers, and buddy spills a Bud Light on me, just like right on my shorts. Like I don't know how he did it, but he did, and looks down, looks back up to me. I was like, he's going to apologize, right? He's like, doesn't apologize. He's like, well, that's what Minshew would have wanted. Your jorts to smell like Bud Light. So I'm not going to apologize. And I was like, thanks, man. I appreciate that. So I walked around with Bud Light all over my shorts all game. So it was not a pleasant experience there.
The only thing that would have made that any better is if you actually ran into Minshew's dad there and asked him, like, hey, would your son prefer Bud Light on his jorts or no? I need to know for future reference.
Do you machine wash his jorts with Bud Light?
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Real Till Podcast. I'm joined today by my co-host Kromatos, and I will let him kick us over to our guest this week.
Yeah, it's what's up, guys? We have our highly anticipated guest Freer coming back here this week. I know you guys have missed him, and I'm just lying. We actually have the Broda Vista. Is that how I pronounce that? I hope I pronounce that right. If not, I don't care. So we're going to call you the Brode for today. And thank you for finally coming by, man. Give us a little bit of a rundown. We always like to get these intros. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became a Jags fan, how it was like roommating with Laxman. Give us a rundown. And your new cat, man.
Oh, man. Happy to be here. Absolutely. You were very close on the name, Brody Sotfa. But we're just going to go with Brode so it's easy for people to understand.
Brode.
So, yeah, I have... Man, been a Jags fan for as long as I can remember. I spent most of my life growing up in Jacks, and my dad actually used to work for Alltel Stadium back in the day. So he'd get us the ticks. He'd always bring back the merch. I even have some very old AFC champion gear from when we went to the championship, and they handed it out after we lost because they couldn't sell it anymore. So I've been a fan for about that long. Then, I don't know, kind of moved around a bit. Came to Orlando for college, and now I'm just enjoying life here. Run a series of coffee shops here in the Orlando area. But there was a point in college, about my second or third year, where I moved in with this super cool, he was about as cool as he was tall, Locksman. He was an absolute blast, jokes aside, to live with. We all lived together with a few other people in a big house behind UCF. And yeah, just kind of been on and off friends ever since, drifted apart a bit, but always down to shitpost on the Jaguars sub. I have kind of become a little bit known, I guess, for making the danks, the maymays, getting those going, because that's really all I do to enjoy life now. But that about sums it up. That's me in a nutshell.
So how much time, people in the sub, like how much time do you actually spend like making, like when you put time into gifts, how much time do you actually put into those?
It like actually varies a lot. So funny enough, it's probably hard to tell from just a viewer perspective how long it takes to make something. So like the longest I'd spent on anything was a Blake Bortles clip that I made of him with his head over top of Bonesaw from the Spider-Man movie. Where he says Bonesaw is ready. I changed it to Bortles is ready. And I like frame by frame had to cut out his head from a video so you could have his animated head on top of the body. I didn't know enough about After Effects and editing to do it in a more efficient way. So I spent way too many hours on that. But normally I'd say, I don't know, anywhere from 5 minutes to a really quick shit post up to like 30 minutes to an hour for a more in-depth editing with like special text effects and shit.
Yeah, there's some good ones. Also, one with the little Dickie one was really good here.
Oh, yes.
I'm just like running through your post history. There was one that was very questionable. Actually, you created it about a month ago. I actually kind of like let it slide on the sub for a little bit, and then it got that's, so many reports.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
What are you doing, dog? It was Doug. It was Doug Marone. Please explain to me how you are better than a Nazi.
So, I'd like to add a little context to that, please. If you've seen the stand-up special, the whole point of the joke is that it's like a father talking to his kid. Like, you just watched your friend get pushed on the slide. How are you better than a Nazi? It's like purposefully ridiculous. But I guess I completely misread how people would take that on the sub, and they thought I literally thought he was committing genocide, I guess, and it was not received well. So I just took my L on that one.
Yeah, I was taken aback. So I've never actually seen the stand up, so it just I guess threw me off a little bit there.
I had a longer version of it, which probably would have given it more context, but I got lazy and I don't know. I post a lot. I'm hoping that most of them are winners. And if I post some shitty ones, you know, I'll take it.
You win some, you lose some, you know.
Well, regardless of how much time you put into these, I'm sure everyone appreciates the work that you put into them. Mostly. Maybe not the Nazi one, but pretty much all the rest of them. I'm sure everyone appreciates it.
Yeah, the one that really didn't get enough attention that I really fucking loved. So again, just going through all this, it was like, did you get an accurate quarterback? And it was like Thanos, like snap, like he was getting the Soul Stone, and it was like, what did it cost? We finally got an accurate quarterback, and then Foles is dead. But naturally, that's not as good anymore because you know we have Minshew. So
I think the most memorable one for me was in 2017. I think. Where that meme where the guy's like dancing around the signs.
Yes.
the playoff one.
Vanilla Vic. Yeah. That one was probably the most memorable one for me. That one probably cracked me up more than any of the rest of them.
I honestly thought about bringing it back, revamping it with Minshew's face after he ran for like 50 something yards this past game. That was really where it took off. That whole season was magical, and it really gave me a lot of motivation to just to shovel out some quality.
Well, it helps that this team keeps providing you with good content also.
Mm-hmm. They do. How did we stumble into just a plethora of meme quarterbacks one after the
I don't know. We should call up Dave Caldwell and thank him.
I don't know if thank is the right word, but I'll at least for these quarterbacks, yes. I have emotions about Caldwell.
Thank him for at least providing us some good meme content.
Yeah, who needs a Super Bowl when you have Minshew?
Right. Let's
take a Super Bowl.
also, yes.
So let's talk about the game in Cincinnati. What week is was that? Week 7. Are we?
Seven.
Yep.
We're in week 8 already. Holy shit. Okay. So, Cincinnati Bengals. Kramatos, you were there. What was it like?
So, I went and it was really hot, actually. I got really good seats on, like, the sunny side, which sucked, by the way. But it was really, like, just honestly just a dog shit game for, what, 3 quarters? I think it was like what 10-9 at the end of the third quarter, it was just awful to watch. We were moving the ball, but we just couldn't put it in the end zone. Which, like I said, it was just bad to watch. Fourth quarter, we just explode. It was kind of nice to actually finally see a win. I am officially 2-2. Every game of all the Jags games I've been to in the past 3 years. So
solid 500.
I think I might have to go to either the Indy game or the Tennessee game. I'm still up in the air about one of those two. So, but 2-2. So we got back to 500. But just quick rundown of looking at the game. defense stellar. It was almost like, you know, we didn't just lose an elite cornerback. It also helped that, you know, Dalton's absolute trash. So that helped. Our run defense, what me and the a couple other guys that I was with, we just like kept watching the Bengals rushing totals. And I think up until like the third quarter, they had 3 rushing yards. So run defense was just amazing that game. We generated turnovers, which we had 2 turnovers coming in this week, and then we left with 5. So awesome. That's what I like to see. Hopefully things start clicking. My boy Josh Allen racks in another sack. This guy is an absolute monster. Thank you, Oakland Raiders, for, you know, ignoring him. I actually seen a lot of Josh Allen jerseys just because a lot of people came up from Kentucky. So that was awesome to see. A lot of people seen the Jags jersey, and to see my buddy wearing Josh Allen jersey. A lot of people kept coming up to us like, you know, we love Josh Allen. I'm like, yeah, well, he's a fucking stud. Nothing really off the top of my head really I can think of off, like, to talk about as a point.
We didn't have a great game offensively points-wise, which are kind of important in a game every now and then, but I honestly don't think the score really represents how much better we were than them in this game.
Yeah, I just popped up a little note here. Possession time, 38 minutes. Well, 38 minutes, 17 seconds compared to 21 minutes, 43 seconds. They did have a lot. They had 4 turnovers. So we actually tripled our turnover total for the year in that game. So,
We had 3 interceptions and 1 fumble recovery.
I forgot about that fumble recovery. DJ Hayden, the monster.
I was getting 2017 vibes in that fourth quarter defensive performance. It was great.
I
definitely agree. If you look at the way we played in the first half, you'd think we would have ended up with more than 3 points at the half.
Yeah, I think we closed it with 6 at the half, I think.
6? You know, you'd think... You know, the way we move the ball, especially, dude, that first drive when we were moving down the field, I was just saying to myself, dude, we are going to put up like 60 points on this team today.
I wanted that so bad.
And then Jaguars fashion, that's what you get for thinking that.
Dude, we got down to the 1-yard line and just fucking stonewalled, dude.
Like, I was getting Toby Gerhardt flashbacks.
He tried to go flight 27, but Bengals just stuffed it.
That was a really good defensive stand. After giving us 80 yards, or I don't know, 75 yards, wherever we fucking started the drive, that was a really good goal line stand for the Bengals. I do give them credit for keeping us out of the end zone for most of that game. It was a good defensive football game for both teams. I feel like, obviously, they gave up a lot of yards to our offense that we just could never capitalize on. I don't know if their pass rush was really as good as it was, or if our pass blocking is that bad. But they did have like solid pressure on Gardner all day.
I do think that's my biggest point of improvement I've noticed for Gardner over the season so far is, I mean, obviously we all kind of agree we need to improve our O-line. That's been a pretty common observation across the board, but I do think he tends to hold the ball a little bit long and it makes it feel like the pressure maybe more than there actually is.
That's definitely a fair take. And I do agree. And, you know, I think that's something that he'll grow out of.
Of course.
You know, when you come in the league with this many guys that are that fast and strong, and they're going to get to you a lot faster than those smaller guys in college, it's definitely something that a guy like Gardner is going to have to adjust to.
And just looking at it, though, he actually had another fumble this week. We recovered it, thankfully, mm-hmm. but that puts us that's putting him at 6 fumbles on the year. I think we've only lost 2 that I can think of.
We lost 3 in the Carolina game, didn't we?
Okay, well, I apparently am dumb. Okay. All right, I was just looking at the ESPN stats.
I also want to block that from my memory, but...
Yeah, so fumble's still a little bit of an issue right now, mm-hmm. but that's just a rookie thing, I think. Hopefully we'll see some change on that. Another kind of shout out I want to put on the spot here is Tavern Bryan still making plays, and man, if we could flash back to that one episode where we had a Mr. Big Fraud on here and JC, they weren't too hot on him. You know, I was always trying to give the guy some time here, mm-hmm. but I love seeing him make plays. So
crucial in that interception touchdown by Jan. He was so close.
Yeah, he was for sure.
Yeah, he's been playing lights out, and I'm really glad that we have good rotational support on that D-line. Come on, guy, we are recording a podcast here.
Well, I recorded the Bengals when they scored that touchdown. I was trying to record that damn song on my phone. No. I was trying to open it up, but I could only do like 6 seconds of it because I couldn't deal with it.
But yes, Taven has been playing lights out, and especially now, like this week, Darius has some kind of a core injury that he's dealing with. I'm really happy that Taven's been playing as well, so I don't feel as mm-hmm. uncomfortable if a guy on our line goes down. You know, I don't feel uncomfortable having Taven in the game more often. I imagine we'll probably see a mix of Taven and Avery Jones in that spot this week.
I really hope we do step up our pressure. Not that our pressure has ever been bad. That's generally one of the stronger aspects of our game, I think. But I we can talk about it later in terms of the Darnold and his visions. But I'm excited for this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all are. Let's talk about turnovers real quick before we move mm-hmm. on. We did rack up 4 turnovers, 3 picks. Let's see, 1 by Yannick, 1 by mm-hmm. Miles, and 1 by Ronnie Harrison. Is that correct?
Yes.
And then the forced fumble by DJ Hayden, which was recovered... I don't remember who recovered it, but
Harrison got it.
Okay. But we did have 4 turnovers, which is very refreshing because it's the hot topic for our defense so far this year has been the lack of turnovers. And we look like ball hawks out there this past week. Don't you think?
I agree completely. I think we really, it was reminiscent of, someone mentioned this and I agree completely. It was reminiscent of the Browns game, I think, in 2017, where it was just turnover central. Offense kind of stuttered, wasn't what we wanted, but we still ended very strong in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's fair. It was exactly what I was thinking. That's actually what I was thinking coming into this game. As funny as it sounds, I was like expecting... Ah, shit, wait a minute. You can actually go back and listen to my prediction. So maybe I wasn't thinking that. but
don't fact check.
I did feel some vibes like that Browns game where, like, we are better than this team all across the board. Mm-hmm. We should blow them out, but we know that it's going to in reality, it's going to come down to a field goal or a defensive turnover, and that's exactly what mm-hmm. happened.
Yeah, and I want to give credit to Miles Jack for his interception. He made an amazing play on that ball. Mm-hmm. He it was just one like swift motion towards the ball right into his hands. Now, he is a fucking idiot for trying to lateral it forwards. I kind of get what he was trying to do. He just did not execute it. He didn't execute it. What's the fucking word I'm looking for here?
Properly.
He tossed it forward. Okay. That part aside, that was a great read on that ball. So definitely give him credit for coming up big there.
It was nice to see him have a couple strong plays, given that I'm not the hottest on him this season. I feel like he's definitely, I don't know if it's just him or if it's the fact that we switched him over and like we don't have someone strong like Pausen there anymore. I don't know what's causing his struggles completely, but it was nice to see him shine a little bit.
Right. Okay. I do want to talk about DJ Hayden real quick. He has definitely stepped up in the absence of Jalen, and maybe he was playing this well, but when Jalen was here and we just weren't able to notice until our best defensive back wasn't there. That may be the case, but he has played extremely well in the nickel corner position.
Yeah, he got the forced fumble in this game. I think he definitely, obviously, I'm not going to say he played at the level that we would normally expect from someone like Jalen or an elite shutdown corner, but having him in there, I didn't feel like we were missing something on defense, if that makes
sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think he's definitely been one of the better signings in the past 3-4 years. I remember like when we signed him, Raiders fans were like trashing him, but he's an elite nickel corner for us again. So we went from, I'm blanking right now. What's the guy's name that went to the
Colvin.
Texans?
Aaron Colvin.
Colvin, man.
Yeah.
We went from having an elite nickel in Colvin to having an elite nickel in DJ Hayden.
Yeah. You know, it's a bit of a side note here, but honestly, a lot of our free agent signings over the past couple years have been really strong, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just across the board, I am having a hard time thinking of a very bad free agent signing.
Norwell.
Oh, right. No, that's...
we'll talk about that, though.
All right, well, let's move on and talk a little bit more about this week. We already talked about Minshew a little bit. He didn't look great the first half, but you know,
he looked magical.
Yeah, but you know, he stepped it up and we got some points later on in the game. He continues his strong connection with DJ Chark. Didi had a great game this week. He was finding Didi.
Got 100 yards, I think.
Yeah. He rushed for a ton of yards too. So hopefully he can step it up and bring some more of that magic. Because we may have another quarterback coming back pretty soon that we will talk about in a minute. The biggest news for me coming out of week 7, which I didn't realize during the game until really late in the fourth quarter, almost the end of the game, that Lambeau hurt his left leg at some point, apparently. I don't know if I wasn't paying attention to the broadcast when it happened, but apparently he was getting his leg rubbed down on the sideline or something. But I didn't see him in the injury report this week. So, hopefully he's all good to go for this coming Sunday. But Josh Lambeau, AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Love me some Lambeau.
This is the second time this year. Dude, I fucking love Josh Lambeau.
Love his hair too. He's definitely like one of my favorite Jags right now. Number one, he's like a big dog guy, so I love that. Mm-hmm. But he's just been so fucking rock solid, man. Still hasn't missed a field goal this week. Probably gonna jinx that. So that's on me if he does miss one this week. But he's just been lights out. And that's something that, you know, we haven't had since Scobie. We went through the Jason Meyer years where, oh boy, it's a PAT, you know, flip a coin. Is he actually going to make this? Lamb has just been rock solid. It's definitely a really good signing. You know, when he came over from the Chargers, everybody was a little hesitant just because he didn't have that consistency. And ever since, he's just been, he's what you want out of a kicker. Like if you're at the 45 yard, if you're about to kick a 45 yard field goal, you don't have to worry that much because you know that it's a very high likely that it's going to go in.
Absolutely. I agree completely. And I, as with everyone, I think was hesitant at first just because we were so burned by Jason Meyer and how he left us feeling. But I think what sold me on him was 2 years ago when we played the Chargers and Jacks and we had that overtime game where Bortles threw two picks in the last few minutes and our defense bailed us out. And then Lambeau got the game winning field goal. And I just, him like killing it against his former team and his celebrations, his attitude, I've been sold on him since then.
Right. And that was probably the turning point for most Jags fans, honestly. Mm-hmm. Just because of how crucial of a kick that was for us.
It was blocked too, if I remember correctly. And he still made it.
Yeah, it was blocked and it still went in. So, magic.
All right, well, let's move on for the first time in however many weeks. Jalen Ramsey is not the big news coming out of some guy who plays football. I don't know. But Nick Foles made his triumphant return to the practice field. Today, I think, was his first day back, Wednesday. So, Nick Foles made his return back to the practice field, and I think his estimated date of return is sometime for week 11. So we've got like 3 more weeks, no Nick, and then Nick's going to come back. The problem is, when Nick went down, we thrusted our 6th-round pick into the starting position, and for the most part, he's played really well. Couple of bad games, or not, you know, great games. So we're gonna kind of be in this predicament in a couple of weeks where we have our $88 million quarterback coming back from injury and our rookie who's been playing really well. Who's gonna start week 11 or week 12 or whenever Nick's 100% ready? Who starts that first week that Nick's ready?
I think it has to be Nick. In my opinion, I would love for Minshew to take over and just keep killing it, but I think he has to have some very, very strong games over the next 3 weeks for him to keep the starting position from.
JC, go ahead, because I could go on a freer ramble about this here.
Okay. Obviously, I love Gardner Minshew. I did not want to sign Nick Foles. I didn't want to sign him. When we did sign him to that contract, I was very upset. But then, you know, as I always do, I supported my starting quarterback. And then he got injured, which was very unfortunate that he got injured on like his first drive as a Jaguar or whatever. At least he fucking chunked a bomb to Chark before he got killed.
Touchdown.
But it was something I expected. I just didn't expect it to happen. 90 seconds into the first game of the season. But that being said, I'm all aboard the Minshew hype train. I would love to see Minshew finish out the season. I feel like taking him out now, like after getting him in there and getting him some experience and him finding chemistry with the team and the team getting behind him and mm-hmm. everyone hyping him up, I feel like taking him out now is going to stall his confidence and stall his growth. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that's going to be really important for him. That being said, I think they're going to put Nick Foles in to start when Nick comes back and he's ready to go in. I think the contract that they signed to him, I feel like they're going to feel obligated to play him regardless. Even if Minshew bombs out and throws like 8 TDs over the next 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I feel like when Nick's ready, Nick's still going to be the guy because I feel like he's their guy. And mm-hmm. I feel like he was their Hail Mary. So I don't see a scenario in which Nick Foles doesn't play when he comes back.
It's interesting. Honestly, I agree with almost everything you said there. And in my perfect world, Minshew would take over and just run with it. Or pass with it, whichever. And the thing is, for me, that given he's a rookie, given he's still making some rookie mistakes, while I'm not sold as Foles being our solution at quarterback, I do think that Minshew would actually grow more being able to watch Foles fit into the offense that we designed over the offseason for him, learn a little bit, almost as if this was a redshirt season with experience, and then take over in the off season and start strong week one next year as the starting quarterback.
Yeah. And I think that's the main point in which Jaguars fans may not agree completely on mm-hmm. is whether he should play for the experience or sit for the experience, you know? Mm-hmm. I just don't see how you can look at Nick and say, well, Nick is obviously a better quarterback and Nick obviously gives us a better chance to win or whatever.
Nothing's obvious about it. I agree with
you. Right, right. So I think the biggest point in which Jaguars fans may disagree with each other on is whether to play him or to sit him, like which one's going to mm-hmm. help his growth more.
I want to hear Crom talk about it because I know you've got all sorts of opinions and thoughts on this. Where are you sitting right now?
So it's number one, no matter which decision we choose is going to be the wrong decision. As a Jags fan, that's what we have to expect. So we have to go in expecting if we go with Foles, it's going to be a mistake. We're going to tank the season. If we stay with, Minshew, we're also going to tank the season. So regardless, we're probably going to tank the season because we're going to pick the wrong quarterback.
As is tradition.
So we have two winnable games here, versus the Jets, versus the Texans. Mm-hmm. I think if he wins these next two, I think go with him and just let him ride out the season. My also other side of this is, hold on, Luna's just going ape shit. Hold on.
So while Luna's going ape shit, is he back?
Well,
yeah, I'm back.
Okay, he's back.
I'm still going back and forth because I don't have an opinion, right? Well, I have an opinion, but it's a very difficult decision. The way I see it mm-hmm. is if we're in the playoffs, like we've seen Nick Foles play in the playoffs. Like, do you want a mm-hmm. rookie quarterback in the playoffs or do you want a guy that's actually been there? He's a Super Bowl MVP. Like, I don't give a fuck what it takes. I just want to win a Super Bowl. And I do think if we are in the playoffs, I do think Nick Foles gives us the better chance to win a Super Bowl. That is one side there. And that's I'm leaning that way, but I don't want to. Mm-hmm. If we're, 4-5, I will see. But that is I would personally, I love Minshew. I've already got his jersey, got a shirt. You know, I rock the mustache. Wife hates it. So, you know, I love the guy to death. I do think in the playoffs, Nick Foles will give us a better shot to win a Super Bowl. I don't really, again, we don't know what Minshew would look like in the playoffs, but I do believe that part is true. That being said, we have a rookie quarterback that has shown that he can be, you know, he can make plays. He can be a franchise quarterback. We've seen the signs. There's no doubt about it. He does, you know, he makes the rookie mistakes. But I also think that we have hope as a franchise that we actually could possibly have a franchise quarterback. A random nugget in the sixth round, and in Jaguars fashion, that would be the most, you know, the craziest thing, that, you know, we always burn these first round picks on quarterbacks and we just take a rando in the sixth round and that's our quarterback. So that's my full side. And my Minshew side, what I actually think is probably going to happen is I do think Foles will come back and be the quarterback. And then they'll make a decision in the offseason, depending upon how whichever one performs, how they do. And then we'll just have a quarterback, you know, controversy on our hands in a good way.
That's going to be nice.
Yeah. But I don't think this front office is going to, you know, just can a 4-year, $88 million contract for a flat, maybe what they could perceive as a flash in the pan type quarterback. So I do think that they'll at least see what Foles can do the rest of the year. If Foles tanks the rest of the year, it's a Minshew show next season. So that's what I think is going to happen.
Okay. Well, let me ask you guys this. Okay. So, If Foles comes back week 11, and say, you know, say after a few weeks, he's just stinking it up and we're at like 5-9 or something. Do they bench Foles for Gardner? Do they put Gardner in for those last couple of games, assuming we're at a point where Foles is stinking it up and we're eliminated from the playoffs or from eliminated from playoff contention, whatever. You think they would pull Foles and put Gardner back in?
I think that's a lose-lose situation at that point. I think that either we stick with Foles and we finish out our losing season and we didn't get a lot of value out of this guy. We just basically gave a lot of money to. And then we also kind of sour the fan base on, you know, the hype that could be for our young new star quarterback. But if you put Minshew in, we win a game. Maybe at best we win two games in a row. We go into the season 7-9 and people are a little more excited. But then we also still wasted a ton of money on that huge quarterback and we can't really get rid of him for a huge value. Like it's not a good situation either way. I do think that if Gardner doesn't win the starting spot by week 11 or 12, then I don't think he will start again the rest of this season.
Okay, fair enough. What about you, Crom? What do you think?
I think the second we would get eliminated from the playoffs, Minshew would go right back in because they would just need more time to evaluate the quarterback situation. If Foles comes in and stinks it up, our fan base is just going to go apeshit. But I just think the second if we were to get eliminated, that's it for him. So it's interesting. It's going to be very, very... we've already had to like nuke multiple threads of arguments back and forth. Thank you, Lax, of people arguing for each side. And I can see each side's point of view. So it's going to be very fun to watch. And like I said, we're definitely going to choose whichever way we choose is going to be the wrong way.
I think it's fair to assume that we're going to have a quarterback controversy on our hands.
Yes. Yeah. I think, if I can give you my ideal situation into this season, whether or not we make it to the playoffs or we do well in the playoffs. I think for long term, my ideal is, let's say Nick Foles comes back and he does play well. He plays well enough to get us to 9-7, 8-8, which we were all didn't even think it was possible 2 weeks ago after that loss to the Saints. So I think we at least get enough value out of him to trade him in the offseason, maybe offload that contract, get some good value in terms of picks or players, tight end, offensive line, whatever we need. And then we go 100% no controversy into next season behind Gardner Minshew with some good value out of Foles that we can put towards Minshew as well.
Agreed. And again, looking at the schedule, it is extremely in our favor this back half of the season, including this week versus the Jets. But we're looking at the Falcons, at, you know, versus the Chargers. That's going to be a wild card. At the Raiders, that's actually going to be a tough one. Raiders are really solid. Play the Titans again. Colts twice. Colts are not bad, which sucks. But they, I mean, they're winnable games. So this is it's going to be ugly. It is going to be ugly.
Yeah, I have no clue what's going to happen, but I'm going to be here watching every weekend, drinking some beer, enjoying it.
Good shit. I'm going to do the same thing. Hopefully it'll actually be, you know, okay to watch. So let's talk about the game coming up. We've got the New York Jets at home. They're having some issues. Darnold was out for several weeks with mono. He is back, but he had a very terrible game versus a good, very good, undefeated Patriots team. So, you know, maybe the Patriots are just that good. Maybe he's just playing that poorly. But what we do know, because Darnold told the world live, poor guy, is that he is seeing ghosts. So what do you guys think of the Sam Darnold situation coming into week 8? How do you think he's going to hold up against our defense? You think he's going to bounce back, or do you think we may have another big day on our hands?
I do think our defense is going to perform exactly like they did last week. Of course, this is me jinxing it again. I would like to see Walsh actually dial up some pressure this week, which hopefully he watched the Patriots games like, oh shit, you know, maybe we should actually blitz versus this guy. But as funny as it sounds, like when Darnold came out, he reminded me a lot of Bortles. Just had some wonky mechanics. And we're seeing that with the whole pressure situation. And, you know, just I was watching the game. I turned it on, and it was like a 3rd and 10, and it was like a 10-yard out, and he sailed a pass at least 10 yards over his, like, wide receiver's head. And I was just like, holy shit. And I just stopped watching at that point. But I do think that we need to come out. I need this needs to be the game where offense works and defense works at the same time. This has to be the game where everything actually finally fucking clicks, and we actually just put them away at, you know, halftime. We're up 3 scores, and we can kind of, you know, let Marone run his Fournette up the middle 3 times, and we'll just hopefully win. That being said, it's Jacksonville Jaguars, so what'll happen is exactly like last week, where it's into the 3rd quarter and it's a 1-score game.
I think of many of our games this season, our defense is pretty well built to continue shaking Darnold's confidence. I think that there's 2 big keys, in my opinion, on the defensive side. Is one, the only real weapon that I'm worried about is Le'Veon Bell. If he gets up, gets running, and has a good game against us, that's going to make things difficult for us to keep pressure on Darnold, for us to focus on, you know, making his life misery. But I think ideally, if we dial up the pressure exactly as you said, if we can get good pressure in his face, he is looking like Bortles. He is throwing balls that are just ugly throws. I'm watching some of the highlights right now, and if you get even a hint of pressure in his face, he is just letting it go and hoping for the best. And I think that's hugely in our favor. So I think you're exactly right. If our if our offense just doesn't screw up and plays strong, moves the ball, then I think our defense is already set to really handle the Jets.
Fair enough. I pretty much feel the same way. I hope we just continue to get pressure on him, and I hope our rush defense, a little scary if Darius is out, because he's really been the anchor of our rush defense the past couple of years. So I really hope the rush defense can hold up, because you never know with this defense if they're going to stop the run or not. That's, I feel like, been the narrative of the defense so far this year. Can we stop a running back or can we not? Last week, Joe Mixon couldn't get past the line of scrimmage. The week before, Christian McCaffrey ran for like 800 yards, you know? So did I get my timeline right? Was the Carolina game the week before?
That was 2 weeks, 2 weeks before. We lost Carolina and Saints.
Right, right. Okay. Same point. So hopefully, you know, hopefully we can shut down Le'Veon. I agree. Le'Veon is really the only thing that I'm really too concerned about.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up I didn't know how good their defense was. It's kind of like a middle of the pack type defense this year. Their offense actually in yards per game is dead last. They are averaging 209 yards per game. To put that in perspective, nice. The Miami Dolphins are averaging 258 yards per game. So just again, they've played the same games as Miami Dolphins, but this has to be the week. If we want a playoff run, we put this team away early. If not, it'll be a sign for the rest of the season is my guess. So prediction, I'm going to say in Jaguars fashion, you can quote me on this next week when I talk shit about it, 28-17 again, Jaguars all the way. What we score this week?
It's 27-17.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So revise. I'm going to say 31-14 Jags.
All right. I'm along the same lines as you. I think that we give up a touchdown and maybe two field goals. I think we give up, 13 points. We give up double digits. But given how poorly their offense is played, I'm a little more confident that we were able to shut Darnold down. And our defense, my prediction is our defense outscores our offense. I don't think Minshew balls out like he did early in the season. I think he has a similar game to last week, 200 plus yards, maybe a touchdown, maybe he runs one in. But I think our defense, I'm pretty damn hopeful for our defense right now. I'm pretty hyped about how we're going to be, we're just going to be playing the Ghostbusters theme nonstop. So I'm looking forward to it. I think defense balls out and let's go 28-13.
Okay. That's kind of similar. I think the offense is actually going to play pretty well. I was going to go with 34. I think we'll get, four scores. And then we'll, Lambeau attack on a couple of field goals. And I think we'll hold them to a touchdown and a field goal. So, 34-10. Yeah. I'm going to go 34-10. I'm going to go with a big win.
I would love that, honestly. I think if we get a big win and we go in to the Houston Texans game on a just in hype mode, just ready to take over and go for a winning season, I think the team's going to need that kind of mentality. So I think a big, strong win, not just a close one, is going to be huge for us for the rest of the season.
Basically, my prediction for this week is that for the first time this year, the offense and defense will play well at the same time. I think collectively we will have a good week this week, and we'll come away with a big win and a boost of confidence going into the division game the following week.
Nice. All right, so we're all ready to shit the bed and lose?
Yeah, fully expecting it.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Basically, I expect the opposite of what I expect. All right, well, I guess we can start wrapping it up. But before we do, I know you don't like to give away your secrets. But can you give us a little some ideas on maybe some things that you're working on? Some of those. I know we touched on it earlier, the memes and the GIFs mm-hmm. and everything. If anybody's listening who doesn't know, and if you don't know, you just haven't been paying attention, and you should know, Brode is our like resident GIF maker. The dude is a fucking genius with After Effects. So
probably should have talked about that earlier then.
but minor detail.
Do you have anything in the works? Anything you're planning that you can give us a little a little peep behind the curtain on?
I do actually. I have a few things. I should preface this with the fact that I always have just a handful of shit posts in the back pocket to throw something up. I kind of prepare for the good, the bad, and everything in between in terms of what kind of post to make pre and post game. In terms of some sneak peeks, I do have a relatively long one I've been working on since maybe week two, using some Minshew cutouts involving a scene from Deadpool. I have a dual play of the game that I've been working on. I was really motivated by this past weekend when Jan and Taven both really teamed up for that great interception touchdown. So I've been working on a way to basically fill in two players for one play of the game, see if we can test that out. And finally, I actually have a new banner I've been working on. So I'll leave y'all with that. You can just stay tuned and see what's in store from there.
Well, I can't fucking wait. There are two things I look forward to every week. I would say one of those things, the Jaguars winning a football game, but I can't really look forward to that every week. I look forward to the Wednesday Frog. Thank you, yes. Razor. I'll give you a little quick shout out. And I look forward to whatever kind of shit posting you're going to provide us with.
Well, I'm more than happy to provide this. Even in tough games, even in tough losses, I am always happy to throw up something just to ease the pain or just to add on to the celebration. So as long as people keep enjoying it, I'm going to be happy to keep sharing.
Cool. Perfect. Well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. I know Krom's got Survivor starting soon.
Oh, yeah. We got 30 minutes, baby. So and my meatball subs that I made for dinner. So
he's got a pregame for Survivor. You guys have any parting words before we bounce out of here for another week?
Nothing that I can think of here. Oh yeah. So I was gonna say we could talk about that Ramsey interview. Did you watch that either, JC?
I didn't watch it. I don't give a shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the only thing that I really kind of wanted to mention on that is like he said in the interview that he actually sat down with like four of the people in the front office, and basically like two of them were like somebody was belittling him or, you know, just not taking his opinion seriously, which we all know is Coughlin. But he said he sat down with four, and two of them in that meeting he respected. And I was just trying to think like who would he be sitting with in that meeting that he would respect? Caldwell, I think. Yes. Doug Marone wasn't a part of it, but who else would he have respected in that front office? Maybe Tony Khan? I don't know if he would have been in that.
Maybe Tony, maybe Tad, because Tad is the PR guy. And
that would make sense.
Obviously, PR is going to be pretty important given that whole situation. So maybe Tad, maybe Tony, maybe Dave. Those are the only three names that really come to mind.
Yeah, that's what I was just. I that was the only thing. Like I watched that entire thing, and you know, everything that he said, he didn't have a problem with Doug Marrone or anything like that. So it was all front office, which we all kind of knew. But it just sounds like it was all Coughlin. So I didn't, like I said, I'm past it now. You know, we got 2 first round picks and a 4th, which still, you know, pumped about. But it was just a little side note there that just wanted to see if you guys had anything on that before we wrapped her up.
That's all I got.
What? Let's wrap her up. And anything else for us, Brode? Thanks for coming by.
Always happy to be on. Be more than happy to join anytime again if y'all ever want. I'm looking forward to. I'm on a high horse. I'm looking forward to a great game this weekend and plenty of memes, win or loser.
Well, I know that you like to. You may be one of our only listeners of this podcast. So since you're on this week, what are you going to listen to on your way to work?
I probably will listen to this. I'm going to save it till Saturday. I'm actually going to be heading to Jack's Saturday. I got a date Saturday with, so I'm going to be enjoying this on my drive up from Orlando to Jack's. And then I don't know. I can't think of anything better than listening to the sound of Chrome and you. So probably just listen to silence and enjoy the good weather.
Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate you being our only listener. So
Happy to pump those numbers up.
And go Jacksonville Jaguars.
And go Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll see you guys
next
week.
Jags. Take care. Have a good week.